It's a great day, and I can't tell you how thankful I am to be a part of this celebration of the grace of Christ for the Haven and for the Presbytery and for all who are here today. Glory to Him. The Word of God is coming to us this afternoon from Luke chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 12 through 24. That'll be the text for the message. But I will tell you, I will refer to some of the earlier verses in the sermon, but I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. So let's give attention to this, the word of our Lord. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And the other said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me be excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet.'" The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Yeah. Let's pray for understanding, shall we? Our Father, we ask now that you would come and give us understanding of your word. We want to believe what you have said and live happily under your rule. We want to grow in faith and in holiness. What we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. For the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody loves a feast. Delicious food, good company, interesting conversation. What's not to love about being with friends and sharing a meal? And who's surprised by the fact that the gospel itself is pictured in Scripture with so many food images? I think you know many of them. Let me give you a few. Isaiah 55, the first verses. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food." Here's some words from John 6, our Lord's words. Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves, referring to his miracle of feeding the 5,000. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. Jesus speaks of himself in refreshing culinary terms, doesn't he? I am the bread of life. Come to me, all who thirst. When we take our communion meal, we feast upon Christ by faith. That's the language we use, and it's good language. That is what we do. And what did the angel tell John to write down? Revelation 19:9. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Food and occasions for eating and drinking give us such amazing metaphors for all of God's kind provisions in the gospel of his Son. They are rich. They are abundant. They satisfy the longings of the soul. And like a good meal, they give joy to those who come and eat and drink. Luke 14 records three food stories. One historical account of a dinner party, and two parables about dinner parties that Jesus told while he was at the party. So, lessons about parties told at a party. And the lessons he gave were filled with reproof. And no doubt they were shocking to those who heard them, to the host, to one particular guests, and to all of those who were there. Let's take a look at the scene and then give attention to the second parable. Look with me and see three things: an awkward moment, a generous invitation, and then, this is serious stuff, a shocking exclusion. That's the outline for the message. So first, the awkward moment. Jesus was eating at the home of a very important man. He was a ruler of the Pharisees. Other guests attended, some Pharisees, some lawyers, perhaps others were there. And they were there to dine, but they were also there to see Jesus. Not merely to meet with him, but to check him out. They were watching him carefully. It's there in verse 1. And I think you know that when people watched Jesus carefully, they wanted to catch him doing something they believed ought not to be done. It was the Sabbath, and a man afflicted with dropsy was there. We call this condition edema now. He was there. He was near Jesus. I doubt that he was an honored guest because Jesus will later tell the ruler to invite the sick and not wealthy friends and relatives. Perhaps this needy man was there as a trap. Guests wondered as they watched, what was Jesus going to do? Would he heal this man on the Sabbath day and violate the fourth commandment? But healing the sick does not violate the commandment. That's what Jesus taught, any more than rescuing a fallen son or even an ox. Jesus healed the man, dismissed him, and the host was silent. The guests were silent. They had no reply. It's there in verse 6. Then Jesus told a parable to the guests to teach them not to seek places of honor. It's there in verses 7 through 11. He saw them choosing the best seats, and so he told them not to do it. It's better to take a low place and be invited to move up than to take an honored position and be told to move down. Jesus was not one for small talk, at least not at this dinner party. He saw things. He addressed things. People who heard him were speechless and no doubt very uncomfortable. And there's more, verse 12. He said also to the man who had invited him, so this is the host, right, the ruler of the Pharisees, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. What a gutsy thing to say to the host. Jesus told him not to invite the very people he had invited, people who were there listening to Jesus speak these words. Don't be concerned with returns in this life. Inviting people close to you or people of means will provide those returns, but you're not to seek them. Live in light of what is eternal. Give without immediate payback. Bless the needy. Invite the despised. Be generous toward the poor with no thought of repayment. That's what Jesus was teaching. The rewards will come when the just are raised. Do what is right now and be patient for what is yet to come. What a shocking thing for a dinner guest to say. This is the awkward moment. Imagine being there, hearing the insightful and penetrating words of the Lord Jesus. I wonder how long that moment was. Whatever the length, the next words spoken were those of another guest. And here are the words at that moment. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. That's verse 15. What? Was he even listening? Did he not get the force of what Jesus was saying? He did not. And we know he didn't because of the next words. Let's not miss them. Verse 16. But he, that is Jesus, he said to him. The parable of the great banquet, as we call it, was delivered to him and through him given to the others as well. Bread will be served in the kingdom, but there will be people who will not eat it. It will not be a blessed day for them. Now, let's take up that generous invitation. And it is generous. It's very generous, lavish. The host in the parable invited a lot of people to a feast and then prepared food for those he was sure would come. When the feast was ready, with everything in place, the notice went out, now's the time, the food is prepared, come and get it. The guests wouldn't come. They gave reasons, but they were not good ones. I bought a field, and I've got to check it out. I got some animals. I need to inspect them. I have a wife now. I can't make it. All fine things to do, but they were terrible reasons to miss a feast that was carefully prepared for them. Weak excuses, each one. Offensively weak, actually. They just didn't want to come. And I'm sure that the listening dinner guests felt the insult as Jesus described the responses. The servant reported back and the master became angry. The people blew him off with no regard for the investment he had made for their comfort. All the effort to provide generously for them for nothing. Unfortunately, I know what it's like to offend a host in this way. I'm going to tell you the story. Some of you know that I lived for a time in East Africa, in a place called Karamoja in northeast Uganda, a very remote part of the world, one of the poorest parts of the poorest nation. And I will tell you that the Karamojong people are generous and hospitable, and they love to welcome guests and prepare food, even at considerable expense to them. Well, early in my time there, I stopped by a friend's hut to collect something. I told him I was coming. I did not tell him I was staying, but he assumed that I would be there for a while, and he prepared accordingly. So there I was with two or three of my kids, I forget how many, looking at this enormous spread of amazing food prepared just for my family. I'm from New Jersey, so I was in a hurry, and I had to leave. A concept unknown to the Karamojong, by the way. No one is ever in a hurry, and no one feels any pressure to leave anywhere at any time. That I came to discover. Lessons for us there, I think. So I thanked him, I apologized, and I took off for the next thing. But that was really bad form. I later learned how offensive it was, and so I made another visit and offered another apology to this family, who in time became very close, treasured friends. From that time on, we had many meals together. I never said no again, and so we repaired that friendship. But it took me a little while to understand really how difficult it was for a man like this brother or others in that culture to receive a decline of that kind of invitation. In Karamoja, you don't refuse hospitality, even if it's inconvenient to accept it, especially when food was prepared just for you. I don't know what my friend did with all the food. Maybe he brought it to the poor and crippled and lame and blind and filled his table that way. I don't know. Host in the parable sent someone to do just that. Done. But there was still room. So the broadest possible invitation went out. Everyone come. Anyone come. I will be host to a lavish feast. I want my house filled with people today. There is a tragic end line in verse 24, but before we get there, think for a moment about God's generous invitation to the world. I'm sure you all know that this parable is not really about food, as much as we love to eat. It's about God inviting people into his home. The invitation is sincere, and it is universal. Preparations have been made, and all are now welcome to enter into the fellowship of God's family through faith in Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. I hope you agree. Do you think much about the welcome of God? You should. Do you extend that welcome to people you see? Do you love being in God's family? I hope you do. Isn't it wonderful being a child of God? I hope you say, I love being a Christian. I am so glad that I have a Savior who loves me and gave his life for me, is present with me, makes promises to me, helps me, provides for me, protects me, and guides me, and who one day will bring me to heaven, a place of never-ending joy and fellowship with Jesus and all of his people. I am so happy that I am Christ's and that Christ is mine. Do you say that?
Amen.
Here's another question. Do you want others to join your family?
Yes.
Here's one more question. I wonder if you thought of it. Do you want God to have a bigger family?
Yes.
Does he deserve more worshipers?
Yes.
More people sitting at his table, feasting upon his grace? Do you want that for him?
Amen.
For his name? For his glory? And it is a feast, you know. Being in God's family is a feast. It's a party. It's a gospel party. Members of the Haven, I learned this from your pastor. Oh, and we have a Savior who is our host. Not that life is easy and comfortable. That's not the case. It's filled with trials. We all know it. We all feel it. Jesus promised that there will be trials. It's never good to pretend that all is well when sin and suffering persist. But there's no need to pretend. Life is hard. Pain is real. And some troubles will just never go away in this life. It's fact. And we need to learn how to speak honestly about this to ourselves, to our friends, to God in our prayers, all the while longing for the resurrection of the just, when all things will be made right, and we will see Jesus. And when we see Him, we will be like Him. 1 John 3:2. Just meditate on that for a moment. And we will spend eternity joyfully worshiping our Savior with all of the saints. But life in this age is hard, and that's why we need Jesus. And hallelujah, we have Him. We have Him. Jesus came and died and rose from the grave. He went up into heaven. He sent His Spirit to us to dwell in us. And right now, Jesus is representing us in heaven at God's right hand, interceding for us. What a glorious thought that is. Amen. He is our brother and is not ashamed to say it. Hebrews 2:11. A brother who never fails us. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is there for you. He listens to you. He never mocks you. He does not reject you. He loves your prayers and will always, always, always welcome you. Do you believe that?
Amen.
You must believe it. I love how one preacher put it. Jesus is a friend who always lets you in and never lets you down. Maybe you're here and you don't have a friendship with Jesus. You've heard of Him, but you do not know Him. You are invited to come. Confess your sins. Trust that Jesus died to pay for your sins. And enjoy the forgiveness that can be yours and the new life that Christ gives to all who come. You are invited to the feast. Welcome to the feast. This is all really delicious food, isn't it? All the blessings that belong to us because we belong to Jesus. We need food, and Jesus provides food generously, abundantly. Here's how J.C. Ryle put it in his comments on this parable. There is nothing that sin-laden hearts can wish or weary consciences require which is not spread before men in rich abundance in Christ. Amen. This is how we should understand the mission of the church, the mission of the Haven OPC. Amen. Jesus has welcomed us into the home of His Father. We serve so that others would receive His welcome. Here's how one writer put it. The Christian mission is nothing more or less than our participation in the hospitality of God. And I think he's right. And that's why we send missionaries overseas. It is also why we plant churches on our own continent. It is why 330 Orthodox Presbyterian congregations and mission works know about you, the Haven OPC, and pray for you. They know what's going on here, and they're glad to know it. They pray, we all pray, that you would extend God's welcome to the world, to souls in Suffolk County who are perishing in their sins, and that you would compel them to respond to God's hospitable invitation. Compel them. That's how Jesus put it. Verse 23, let me read it to you again. And the master said to his servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. That's strong language. Compel them. Not force them or drag them, but urge them and persuade them and invite them and surely welcome them. The master's house must be filled with hungry souls ready to eat and be satisfied. The food is ready. And there is room at the table. Compel them to come in. The gospel invitation is broad and generous. While there is time, there is hope for the world. But there will not always be time. And while we are all invited, not all will accept the invitation. Let's move to the tragic end of the text and a shocking exclusion of those who dismiss the invitation of Jesus Christ. Remember that the parable is Jesus' response to the guest who said, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Right? Oh, what a day that will be. It'll be so good. We'll be there. We'll eat. We'll be blessed. That's what he thought. Not so fast. There will be people who imagine themselves there, who will be excluded because they did not accept God's invitation. So the invitation to come is generous. It is also urgent. The hospitality of God is serious stuff. There is a lot at stake. Here's the chilling conclusion. Verse 24, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet. Not one of them. Jesus is warning his own people in this parable, the Jews who were privileged in so many ways and yet trusted their privilege rather than the one whom God sent to save him. They were invited. All preparations were made. But in the main, they did not come. John 1:11, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But, verse 12, the invitation broadens to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for the world. And we are living right now in the age of welcome. Christ's work is finished, and the invitation continues. And it extends to everyone. The warning extends to everyone as well. There are many in our day who think things are well when they are not, or they think things are lousy and have no idea how to cope with the problems of this world or the trials that come to them. They are feeding on ideas and patterns of conduct that seem to satisfy, but they do not. They never will. They are making a wretched choice, as the hymn goes, and rather starve than come. They are starving while they lay aside the invitation to a feast. It is your privilege, dear Havenites, if I may call you that. And I think I may. It is your privilege and others who are here to deliver the invitation to come and eat. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8. Listen diligently to Jesus and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the word that has come to us today. We thank you for this generous invitation that you have given to the world to come and to find life and satisfaction and hope and rest in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Help us to love this welcome, to extend it, to daily accept it as we come to you through Christ in our prayers. Help us to live by all of your truth, to love your fellowship, and to long for a growing harvest, and to make known the delights that come with faith in Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Amen.